Help us, O God, to be masters of ourselves, that way we may become the servants of others. Take our lips and speak through them, our minds and think through them, and take our hearts and set them on fire for Christ's sake. Amen. In the late 1960s, there was a song by a rock band, Steppenwolf, that captured the countercultural spirit of the day. I'm certain many of you have heard it before. The song Born to be Wild was featured in the popular movie The Easy Rider, and it played over and over in my mind this week. The refrain of the song is very simple, so I'd like you to sing it with me today. Ready? Born to be wild. Born to be wild. Very good. Now, although this song isn't about our Christian faith, so you won't find it in the hymnals, there's a kernel of gospel truth in it. We all were born to be wild. Once upon a time, there was reckless abandon in each one of us. There was a time when we haven't learned to filter what to say. There was a time before we learned about expectations and became less spontaneous. And there was a time before the wildness was frowned upon and tamed. Once upon a time, believe it or not, we all were born to be wild. Now, this song came to my mind as I was reflecting on John the Baptist in our gospel reading today. Paula last week talked about John being the voice out of the wilderness, the wild voice who wore smelly camel skin. So if there was someone in the Bible who was born to be wild and remained wild, John was the one. But it also takes one to know one. John had sought out Jesus and baptized him, and the baptism initiated Jesus' ministries. And it seemed like they were very aware of each other and what they were each doing. Here in our gospel, John is in prison, awaiting death. He had worked very hard to prepare the way, preaching the need for repentance. And here, he seeks reassurance that Jesus is indeed continuing the work. But John was in for a big surprise. The unexpected of it all is that Jesus' answer to John showed that he was even wilder than John. Author Frederick Buechner writes about John in this way: where John preached grim justice, Jesus preached forgiving love and pictured God as the host at a marvelous party, or a father who can't bring himself to throw his children out even when they spit in his eye. Where John ate locusts and honey in the wilderness with the church crowd, Jesus ate with a sleazy bunch as much as you could expect to find. Where John crossed to the other side of the street if he saw any sinner heading his way, Jesus seemed to have preferred their company. So could it be that Jesus was wilder than John? So to John and to the people listening, Jesus says, "Blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." Jesus is saying, please, don't be offended that all this is happening, that the lame walk, the blind see, The lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the poor are attended to. That God heals and loves, that God gives hope and extends mercy to everyone. Yes, everyone. Jesus' message is wilder than anyone, including John, could have imagined. But this wildness of Jesus was offensive to many, offensive to those who want to just love their friends, offensive to those who have become too cautious and careful, offensive to those who hold back against the downtrodden. But Jesus says, no, God is not tame. God is a wild God for me, for you, for everyone. John the Baptist prepared the way by preaching a message of repentance. And Jesus' message builds on that. That repenting and having a right relationship with God is just the beginning. And even then, at the end, it isn't just about us. And it's not for us to hoard. Being right with God is about what we then do to others and for others who are seeking healing. You might already be familiar with the metaphor of the Dead Sea. I visited there a few years ago while on pilgrimage. And it's true. The water is extremely salty, so much so that nothing is alive in it. The Dead Sea is so salty because it has no outlets. All the life-giving materials minerals that are deposited into the sea have nowhere to go. And with all its richness, it created this body of water that cannot sustain life. Jesus' message to us is that God's mercy needs us as the life-giving outlets for all the richness that comes with our faith. So picture ourselves, each one of us, as the wild rivers that can bring waters of mercy to nurture the fields. Last year in October, I experienced wild rivers of mercy while I traveled to South Korea for an Episcopal Asian conference. Of all the people that I met, I was most impressed by the members of the Episcopal Young Adult Service Corps. They were all in their 20s, energetic, bright-eyed. They were all moved by their own experience of God's love, and each committed to a year to 2 years of serving in ministries of healing and of mercy. A young woman I met talked about the challenges of serving in poverty-stricken neighborhoods in the Philippines. I was very moved by another young man who was working with the Merchant Marine in Hong Kong, climbing into ships to provide Bible study for seafarers who were far away from home. They all had in common this unbridled wildness of their faith, ready to let the mercy that they have experienced flow through them to others. Now, we don't have to be in our 20s, and we don't have to move thousands of miles away from home to let mercy flow through us. Might we this week just focus on one person before us? Who might this person be? Might it be having a healing conversation with someone? Or to speak out an injustice for a friend? Might it be not walking by someone who needs your help, or volunteering in an opportunity for outreach. This week, how might we love someone who might not love us back? Jesus is calling out to what is wild within our hearts. So when wild rivers of mercy flow in us and through us, what we read today from the prophet Isaiah then comes alive. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. For water shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs water. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. How wonderful that is. So stir up your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us. Let your bountiful grace and mercy speedily help and deliver us so we can be grace and mercy to others. This Advent, let us expect the unexpected. Let us find the wildness within us as we let rivers of mercy flow in us and through us. Born to be wild, born to be wild.